It's time to head into the barn. This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn. In the barn. Talking horse racing news, events, and a whole lot more. Here's your host, Jason Bean.
All right, welcome into the barn, the Bet America Radio Network. And a very happy Tuesday to everyone out there in the podcast land. Hope you're day and week are off to a very good start. I'm continuing my not cross country, but more down country journey from Seattle to Las Vegas, and settled into beautiful Redding, California this evening, and recording the show Monday night for Tuesday morning. I always record the shows the night before, so if once in a while you'll hear me absolutely say tonight, and I really mean tomorrow morning. So it's Tuesday, so we're talking like it's Tuesday. But, getting excited for the NHC. It's pretty cool to see all the buildup for that event kind of starting to, I see pictures on the social media of people packing their bags and getting ready to take off for Las Vegas. Barbara Bowley, who works for the Tournament Edge, she was commented on my road trip diaries I've been posting at betamerica.com/extra. She said, you can just take a plane. And I said, yeah, well, I like to let my fears and phobias control my life, and so therefore I drive. But I do enjoy the actual road trip part of it. And my favorite part of the drive was today. From Portland to Redding, from Portland to practically Eugene and past, it's kind of not that exciting. There's not a whole lot going on. And you get to the center part of the state, and there's a lot of hills, but nothing too great. And when I get to Grants Pass, one of my favorite little spots, and I posted this on my road trip diary blog, is Jump Off Joe Creek. Because I always assumed that it was some guy named Joe who, jumped off and met his demise. But it turns out it's not. I actually went and looked it up today, of all things, when I got here to Redding. And so it turns out Joe was a son of a prominent fur trapper with the Hudson Bay Company, and he was on a cross-country expedition from, the Portland Willamette Valley down to, North Carolina or something. It was supposed to take forever. But when they got down to by Grants Pass there, they were, set up camp for the night, and Joe was out walking around, and he fell from this top of the ridge down into the creek. And apparently he was hurt pretty bad, but not mortally hurt. But they, all his, fellow fur trapper guys started calling it Jump Off Joe and, teasing him that he jumped off. And apparently it was originally called the Jump Off Where Joe Fell. And then they finally shortened it to just Jump Off Joe Creek. But I like to think that Joe was a disgruntled show bettor who, made a big bridge jump show bet and it didn't hit. But apparently that's not the case. But that dates back to like the 1830s, I guess, was when Jump Off Joe had his fall, so that name goes back quite a ways. But I made my way through Medford, and my favorite part of the drive is from the California border. You go over this huge mountain pass, and it's, I think, 4,300 feet, Siskiyou's Pass, and there was a ton of snow on the ground, and then you go straight downhill for like 5 miles, and then it's like an hour and a half of driving through just beautiful valleys and then mountains, and you drive right by Mount Shasta. I mean, you drive right on the base of Mount Shasta, which is always gorgeous, and, snow-covered peak pretty much year-round, and then you kind of wind the last 30 or 40 miles right around Lake Shasta, which is just beautiful in its own right, and, has these kind of sandy hills that that go up from the lake and the tree. I mean, it's just gorgeous. And there's a bridge that you cross over Lake Shasta, and I always wish you could stop there because it's like the best place to take a picture or just to enjoy the scenery, but you can't really stop on the bridge. So, got settled into Redding and already for tonight's show. And I'm hoping my guest, I'm trying to have somebody from Portland Meadows come on because today is the Portland Mile Day. It's one of my favorite days of the year, and I'm extremely biased for that fact. I'll readily admit it. But one thing we will talk about here on the barn is smaller tracks and their big events, because there's a lot of them, and there's some great tracks out there that aren't, Gulfstream Park, Santa Anita, and the tracks we're going to talk about almost every week on here. And so I wanted to showcase Portland Meadows a little bit. They do have pick four and pick five carryovers going into the card. Both those are low takeout wagers, 14% on the pick four and 15% on the pick five, so they're great values with the carryover. Usually when we would get $4,000 or $5,000 in the carryover pool for a pick four, pick five, the next day it would usually be about $20,000 in the pool. And what I found at some of these smaller tracks, and Portland certainly is included in this statement, if you just get a little separation, it goes a long way, because you don't have people playing huge tickets in these kind of pools. You know, you don't have a lot of people playing like that. So if you can just knock out one or two favorites, you can really, really get some good value on your wagers, and that includes the pick four and pick five that are coming up tomorrow, and the $25,000 Portland Mile. We're going to handicap that race a little bit later, and I'm going to just go ahead and give you some of the winners. I have a great familiarity with all these horses because I've called most of them. And, we'll talk about the Portland Mile a little bit later. We are going to debut a new segment today, and it's called Bad Beat of the Week. Come on with his three horse. Oh, man.
Bad Beat of the Week.
Now, we certainly don't want to celebrate the bad beats of the week, but you know, I think one thing we horse players can all feel a little sympathy on is a bad beat, because we've all taken one. And you know, if you take a bad beat one week, email me barn@betamerica.com, and we'll be here for you. We'll read it, we'll talk about it, and we'll hopefully make you feel a little bit better. But this week's bad beat of the week goes out to a 2014 Beamy Award winner, Sebastian Piskuskas, which is one of the greatest last names of all time. You can find Sebastian on Twitter at SeaBass912, SEABASS912. So Sebastian is an avid Southern California player, lives down there, and he was partaking in the pick four on Saturday afternoon, which was Santa Monica Day. Put together a nice $15 ticket. He went single by five, by single by six. And it was on the final four race of the day. So the first race, he hits a single, 3-2, favorite, but rolled from way off the pace, drew away very nicely. Next race, he beats the favorite. He gets a 5-1 winner, almost 6-1. It was 5.90-1, but the third choice in the race, and beat a 6-5 favorite in that race. So now, you know, the daily double for that race was $32. So, okay, now he's got a pretty nice little ticket. So now he's down to his single, who's Finest City. And Finest City's going off at 9-1. I think might have even been higher than that on the morning line, but it was certainly a bold single. And this was the horse he liked the best, big play of the day. And here they come to the top of the stretch, and Finest City and 64-1 shot Las Bus are neck and neck. And here's the home stretch call for that race.
Wake up, Kiriaki, Ben's Duchess, Kiss at Midnight next. 3/16 left to go, and it's Finest City, Lost Bus from Living the Life, and Tara's Tango at the eighth pole. Lost Bus on the inside of Finest City, battling it out tooth and nail. Two lengths in front of Tara's Tango, who stretches out strongly late. It's Lost Bus and Finest City. Lost Bus has won the Santa Monica in a photo finish from Finest City, and Tara's Tango closing strongly.
So we got Finest City just gets beaten by a dirty whisker by a Lost Bus, who was 64-1. It looked at you heard right when I started that clip, they were coming into the stretch, and you heard Rona say Finest City first and Lost Bus second, because he didn't say that it was in first and was in second. But a lot of times when announcers say a horse's name first, it's because they think the horse is either on the lead or going to take it real, real soon. And I think everybody watching would have thought the nine was going right on by. The track tended to be a little bit speed favoring, which I don't think helped our pal Sebastian's cause. And Lost Bus ended up lighting up the tote board. Of course, the favorite won the last leg that yielded that $1.1 million pick six. But the pick four came back $3,500 for 50 cents. Now, that was obviously with a huge, huge bomb in that leg. But the horse Sebastian had single that got beat was 9-1. And so, yeah, you know, I got to think he probably was looking at, you know, at least $800 or $1,000 for a $15 ticket. So it was a tough beat, Sebastian. But, you know, you keep pressing on, my brother. So Sebastian Piskuskas is our bad beat of the week.
Hello, this is Kayla Strah, and I'm here to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It is the fastest growing legal, safe, and secure website to place all your bets on horse racing. BetAmerica covers over 200 racetracks from North America, the UK, and my home country, Australia. New players to BetAmerica receive a 100% bonus on your first deposit up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the BetAmerica way.
All right, back here on the BetAmerica Radio Network. You are in the barn here on a Tuesday, and we'll be previewing the big card from Portland Meadows coming up in the next segment. So I kind of have a schedule laid out for how I want to do the show. Generally, Mondays are kind of going to be, you know, weekend wrap-ups and talking about what happened on the big weekend. You know, we'll check in with who won our big Friday night tournaments as we go along with those for the Horse Player World Series qualifier. Don't forget to go to BetAmerica.com to check out all the great tournament action we got going on there, including those Friday night tournament qualifiers. Tuesdays, you know, Tuesdays are always kind of a quiet day. We'll probably do some handicapping for the smaller tracks, but also, you know, try to get a good guest on to talk about something interesting. Wednesdays will try to be usually a more of a feature guest kind of show where we do a little more extended interview, kind of how we did with Vic Stauffer last week. And, you know, and that'll kind of be, you know, that'll kind of be the Wednesday thing. And then Thursdays, we'll probably look ahead to the weekend a little bit more. And Friday, of course, we'll be covering the Horseplay World Series qualifiers live. But this week is going to be a little bit of a monkey wrench because, we're going down to the NHC, which is Friday and Saturday night. I'm getting into Vegas on Wednesday, probably Wednesday morning. And so I'll be pretty much focused on NHC stuff most of the weekend. You know, we might not do a show tomorrow night because tomorrow's going to be my big long driving day. But once we get into Vegas, we'll be probably bringing shows Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, wrapping up the NHC as well. So it'll be a busy weekend on that front. There's so much good racing this coming weekend too. The Don Handicap, of course, that big card at Gulfstream Park. Santa Anita's going to have great cards. It's going to be a fantastic weekend. I'm really pumped up for the NHC. I've never been. We've seen it covered on. It was on ESPN. It was covered a couple of times, and I think they really wanted it to be kind of covered like the World Series of Poker, I think, but it kind of just never took off in that aspect. But I think with social media, it's allowed it to be covered quite a bit more. And my plan is just to set up camp down there and talk to a lot of the great handicappers that are there. Hopefully some listeners of the show will stop by, and we'll kind of be following it pretty intently. I'm really excited for it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's at Treasure Island. Again, Friday and Saturday, the two big days of the tournament. But we'll be doing wall-to-wall coverage. Again, you can find me at Twitter, at Beamy Awards, BEEMIEAWARDS, at Beamy Awards. And I'll be taking lots of pictures and probably putting up a lot of videos. I might use Periscope for videos, but I might just use, YouTube or something like that. But we'll certainly get you as much action as we can leading up to that. So since the shows are going to be a little different this week, usually I'm going to do song parodies on Thursday. People have been really cool, getting a lot of really cool feedback about the song parodies. Michael Rona retweeted the one about Michael Rona, and they even played it. So I'm working on trying to get Roger Stein from the Roger Stein Show to join us on the podcast. And Roger actually played it on his show, which was pretty awesome. He was going toward the final break on his show. You know, I listen to the show every weekend. It's a Southern California-based radio show, if you haven't heard it. But I just got back to the grocery store, and I was sitting in my car listening to the last segment. And he goes, I want to play this for you. And this guy, Jason Beam's got a radio show of some sort. And he goes, I just wanted you to hear this. And so he played my Sounds of Rona to the Simon and Garfunkel song, Sounds of Silence. So, but this week's parody is, when I say parodies, but a lot of times they're going to be more tributes and just kind of, you know, hopefully just fun, kind of dumb stuff. This one is about the great Larry Jones, the horse trainer. And when I was trying to think of, you know, brainstorming some ideas, and I got, you know, 30 of them written down that I want to do. But I thought Larry Jones. I just kept saying Jones, and then I go, oh, Mr. Jones. So the great Counting Crows song. So here is Mr. Jones, but it's actually Larry Jones, our song parody of the week.
Sha la 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 la. yeah. Oh, I was down at the fairgrounds, scoping out this chestnut horse. Larry Jones strikes up a conversation with a bald head turf rider. You know, Larry always rides the horses he trains. Oh, he's so damn dutiful. And we all want a trainer who's dutiful. Man, I wish I was dutiful. So come down to the barn out in the morning and watch them train, yeah. Lovely Maria, Hotspur, I'm a chatterbox at half degrees. All the fast fillies for Mr. Jones. Believe you can. Won the Oaks in Kentucky, and I made lots of money because I believed. Yeah, Larry Jones and me making money together. Well, I bet all his beautiful fillies. Yeah, Larry Jones and me winning the Kentucky Oaks now. Cause when everybody bets him, his horses will only be 3 to 5.
So there's this week's song parody of the week, Larry Jones, dedicated to the great trainer. And hope everybody gets a kick out of the song parodies. They're a lot of fun to do. I by no means think I am a good singer. And I'm literally doing those on the podcast format on my microphone because I haven't figured out how to do a lot of the other stuff with it. So, please don't think I'm taking myself seriously as a singer at all. But, we're just trying to have some fun here on the old Bet America Radio Network. So we all going to head out for a little time out here. And then when we come back, we're going to handicap today's big card from Portland Meadows, the Portland Mile, coming up later this afternoon. We'll be right back after this short time out. It's the Bet America Radio Network.
Hey, I'm Chantel Sutherland Cruz, and want to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It's the coolest place to bet on horse racing on over 200 racetracks from America and around the world. New players receive a 100% bonus on your first deposit, up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the Bet America way.
All right, back here on the Bet America Radio Network, you are in the barn, and we are talking about one of my favorite races in the country. You know, you guys can have your Kentucky Derbies, your Preaknesses, all that. Give me the Portland Mile, 25,000 added. It's spicing up a normally quiet Tuesday of racing around the country, and I'm pleased to be joined by probably one of my top two favorite people in racing. He's the racing secretary at Portland Meadows. He's the morning line maker, so if he screws that up, you can yell at him. And he's one of my favorite guys, the General Jerry Coles. Jerry, how are you?
Very good, Jason. Thank you for having me on.
Jerry, 15 races today, man.
It's a long day on Mondays. we're doing our 9 regular races and then the 6 National Club Pick 6 races. It's a long day, but it's... A lot of people are interested in it, and things are going pretty smoothly with it.
I got to admit, I haven't talked to Mike Persichino, the announcer, yet, but I used to dread night racing at Portland Meadows because it's tough to see, Jerry. I mean, down at the quarter pole there, it's not the brightest place on earth. And when I heard they were doing that promotion, I thought, my first thought, of course, was, oh, this poor guy, he's not going to be able to see anything. But I listened to the last race or two, and he looked like he was spotting them all right.
Yeah, it's tough to call them, and I know firsthand how difficult it is because I've been the backup announcer. And just a couple weeks ago, when we ran 12 races on a Tuesday, Michael had to catch a flight, and we had a delay of the races for about 20 minutes. So he called me up there and said, hey, can you call the last two? I'm going to miss my plane. I said, sure. So I go up there, and he instructs me on how to play the Bugle the Post on the, iPhone and stuff like that. And he said at the end you hit the power button on the mixer board to turn it off.
Yeah.
So I go up there for the 11th race. I've got like 3 or 4 minutes. I'm trying to memorize the horses. I can't see anything. It's dark and raining. So I try and call them off the TV. Did a horrible, horrible job.
Because the TV is brighter. It's way brighter.
It is.
So like what people see on TV, it looks 100 times darker than real life.
But I've tried. Yeah, I just have a very difficult time calling the races off the TV. So I just butchered the 11th race. So the 12th race comes up, and I play the bugle for the Parade of the Post, and I announce the post parade. And I look at the mixer board, and I said, well, I don't need that anymore. So I hit the power button.
Oh, Jerry.
And I memorized the horses, and I call the races in the winner's circle. And I thank everybody for coming out. And Portland Meadows races are concluded. And the presiding state steward comes in. He says, did you call the last race? I said, yeah. He says, we didn't hear you. And I had two other people call me up, said, did you call the last race? And I looked over at the mixer board. I go, oh, shoot. I turned everything off.
You know,
it was like Keeneland. It was like Keeneland years ago.
I tell you what, Jerry, as far as anyone else is concerned, it was probably your best call.
Yeah, probably, yeah. I never claimed to be an announcer.
I had a great one there one time, Jerry, because I don't know if they still have it that way, but it was a wireless mic, so you kind of tucked the little battery pack into your pocket, and then you just put the headset on. And one time the battery pack went flying out of my pocket for some reason. Like, I must have hit it on the chair or something, but the battery went flying out of the battery pack. And so about mid-stretch, I go, they turn to the top of the stretch, and it's so-and-so in front, and then boom, just silence. So I'm scrambling to put the batteries back in. And, of course, Will, our old boss, he calls, and he says, Jason, why'd you stop calling the race? it wasn't my fault. So, yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff that can happen up there in the old booth.
Oh, yes, that's for sure.
Especially with the old PM. Well, Jerry, the Portland Mile, I know you've been at Portland Meadows since when, like 1847?
Not quite that long.
You came with the track.
This will be my 19th season there as a racing secretary.
Oh, man. So you've seen many a Portland Mile. And any of
I
them,
have.
What's one of your favorite Portland Miles?
Boy, I tell you, I just looked at the list of past winners, and it's really, I couldn't come up with anything. I mean, it's just like, I like this one, I like this one, I like this one, I like this one, I like this one. They're all special.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is our people don't understand, Jerry. This is our race.
It is.
Yeah,
it is. And it's not a big purse when you're 25,000. Last year it was 35,000. I think a couple of years it was 50. But this year's field is a lot stronger than last year's.
Mm-hmm.
Last year we didn't have anyone ship in at all.
No.
And Sportive won it. And it was $35,000, and then this year we dropped the purse to $25,000, and it drew a better field.
Yeah, I remember last year was in the fog. You couldn't see anything.
Right. You didn't see anything until about the 16th pole.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden Sportive and Javier Matias came flying out.
Well, right.
Well, Jerry, you did get a big field, and so a field of 10 to go a mile. 2-1 morning line favorite, Alpha Better. You look at this horse from a class standpoint and from an earnings standpoint, he's made $824,000. We don't see that a lot at Portland Meadows. And this is a horse that's a multiple grade 2, multiple grade 3 winner. He hasn't run great in his last few starts, but, those optional claiming allowance races at Woodbine are tough.
Yeah, that's what, and it was tough to gauge because I also do the weights for the races, along with Gary Norton, an Echo-based chart caller. He did a set of weights, too.
Yeah.
And we both had him as the high weight.
Mm-hmm.
He just, running for, and he was being competitive for the 62.5.
Yeah, he's only beaten a length and a half and two,
And so, can any of these horses run as good as he did in those races? I don't think so. So that's why we made him the high weight, and I made him the morning line favorite.
Yeah, I think the question mark for him is probably the surface. He's run on the all-weather 36 out of 39 career starts, and then on the grass twice. His only fast dirt track start was down at Gulfstream Park, but that was in a grade three, and you see Valid won that race at Grande Shores and Race Day. I mean, those horses would be 1 to 1,000 in this race.
Right, right. And I watched him actually work, not knowing that he was going to work last Monday on Martin Luther King Day. We didn't have live racing or entry, so I got to the track. It was about 8:45 right after the break, and I walked out to the clocker stand and saw Matias on this good-looking horse go by, break off at the 5/8 pole. So I asked the clocker, I said, "Who is that?" And she said, "Well, that's Alphabetter prepping for the mile." So I watched him work, and he went out to the 7/8 pole, and he worked really well. He worked like 12-2, I believe it was, and did it real easy and looked like he handled the surface real well.
You can tell sometimes those classy horses when they show up, can't you?
Yeah, oh, they just stand out.
Yeah.
I mean, compared to the, you know, the most of what we see at Portland Meadows.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, he's closer to a million in earnings than he is to zero. So
yeah.
he's racked up a pretty solid career. One of the things I'm curious about, Jerry, is the pace in this race, because Memphis Mobster is a really good sprinter, and they tried stretching him out in the Crater Lake last time, and he went 46-2 for a half at Portland's pretty solid. I always kind of used 47-1, 47-2 is kind of my cutoff between really fast and kind of fast, and then anything over 48 was kind of normal. And so, you know, and he backed up, obviously, and he should, you know, he should get a little bit of fitness from that, but I'm kind of mystified because his trainer, Jesse Velasquez, who's, you know, always a leading guy down there, has entered another speed horse who's right to his outside. And so what do you make of, of those two entries?
Yeah, I don't know. I was kind of surprised that Rigoberto entered three horses in there.
Yeah.
Because I thought when I was looking at everything and talking to some of the trainers that I would get like 7 or 8 horses in the race.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what he's planning on doing with Memphis Mobster and on the Shady Side and Stony River. He's got three of them in there. Mm-hmm. We had a field of 10. We do have a scratch Party Pooper. I believe I don't have a program in front of
number
me, but
two.
I think he was the two horse.
Yeah.
He is going to scratch and wait for an allowance race next week.
Well, on the Shady Side, I mean, you know, he's worked his way up the ladder here, but he's got 4 straight wins coming in the race, so in great form. And he's owned by a Portland Meadows legend, Mike the Bartender.
Mike the Bartender, that is correct, yeah. He's no longer bartending, but he comes out when he has a horse, and he brings a crowd with him, and they have fun.
Yeah, Mike's, in fact, in my book, Southbound, there's a character called Carl the Bartender. Very much based on Mike the Bartender. Jerry, the horse I love, who I think is, double fist bet, is Lord Rosberg, who you have as the 3-1 second choice. Pat Jarvis is a trainer we've come to know over the last, you know, 7 or 8 years, coming down from Vancouver, Canada. She always wins races down here. And this horse she's brought down here, you know, in December, barely got beat in a handicapped 6 furlongs, but then once stretched out, this thing's got a big late kick.
You cut off.
Oh, I cut off, Jerry?
Oh, I didn't.
You got me back, Jerry?
Yep, I got you back.
Oh, there we go. See, it's your phone. It's that Vancouver, Washington reception.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyways, I was talking about Lord Rosberg, Jerry. This horse has an explosive kick down the stretch. And I don't know what the weather's like, but he sure liked the sloppy track last time.
Yeah, and supposedly the track was beautiful today. It was wet fast. We had no rain, and I don't think it's supposed to rain till late afternoon tomorrow. So I don't think it'll be sloppy. But the way he ran, I just think, I mean, he's a nice horse.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely the most serious threat to the favorite.
And very lightly raced. I mean, only 9 starts.
Yeah.
He's a 4-year-old, but, 5 wins in 3 seconds. So he's only been out of the trifecta once, and that was a race at Hastings where it looked like he got steady and had some traffic, and they just kind of pulled him up. But other than that, he showed speed before, but then this last time he came from way off it, and I don't think he's going to go with Memphis Mobster and on the Shady Side. So I just foresee this horse being a big, big shot tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's going to be sitting in a good spot off of the speed. And Rocco Bowen, he's been winning races lately. He's riding in great form. I think he's the biggest threat.
Jerry, one horse I wanted to ask you about, too, is number 8. He's KG, who's a Golden Gate shipper. And we've seen Golden Gate shippers come up and win the Portland Mile before. Crafty Prospect or Crafty Power comes to mind. And Deacon Speakin's another who came up in recent years. And so this horse, they claimed him a couple of starts back, and it didn't run so good first off the claim. They jumped him up. But, you know, we've seen horses that have run for, you know, 10 or 16,000 at Golden Gate come up. Another one is Derby Rider back in 06. Who was the same kind of thing. They claimed it down at Golden Gate, brought him right up here, and then won the mile. And so it's certainly something that's happened before.
It has, and you're spot on saying that those horses from Golden Gate in the $12,500, $16,000 range, the wide open horses, they can come up here and win this race. But this edition is tough with Lord Rosberg and Alphabet are in there. Mm-hmm. Normally we don't have those, you know, two of those good horses in the race.
Yeah. Yeah, I tend to think, far be it for me to criticize the morning line. I think he's KG might be a little higher.
Ah!
I think he might be a little higher than 9-2, Jerry. Come on.
That's my guess. Time will tell. We'll see when the win at post time, what he goes off at.
Jerry, one of my all-time favorite moments, I'll share this before we kind of let you go, was you made a horse 8-1 on the morning line, and he won. And he won right at 8-1. And I got an email because I used to get all the info at Portland Meadows emails.
Yeah.
So the horse won. He won like a monster, but he wanted it. He was 8-1. And this guy sends me an email and he says, "Your morning line maker made this horse 8-1. He should have been 3-5. This horse was a gimme, slam dunk. And he made him 8-1. And so I was thinking, I remember this horse. He wasn't a small price. I looked up the chart and he was like 8.2-1. Like you were dead on.
Yeah.
And so I wrote the guy back. I go, "Sir," I said, "the morning line maker had that perfect." I said, his job is to guess what he thinks the final odds would be. He goes, "This horse's odds should have been 2-1. I go, "Well, if that's the case, then you should have hammered this horse down to 2-1.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
But, I love morning line complainers. They're one of my favorite things in racing. And I love to give you...
You do your best and you... you know, when I look at the race, I don't even look at, like, who I think is going to win. I just strictly look at, like, what is the betting public going to do? How are they going to bet this race?
Yeah, and it's a pretty thankless job. Like, nobody calls you other than me when you do it.
When you hit one right on a race.
Yeah. But the horsemen will let you know when they think you made a bad one, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, for sure.
It's good times, General. Well, the Portland Mile's coming up later this afternoon here on a Tuesday morning, and very excited about the race. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And, Jerry, I always love talking to you, and have a great Portland Mile.
Well, thank you, Jason. It's always great chatting with you.
Oh, Jerry, I'm going to Vegas for the NHC. I'm so excited.
Oh, you should be.
I'm not playing, obviously, but we're going to be covering it.
No, but you're going to cover it. Oh. It's very exciting.
Yeah, I'm going to see somebody win 800 grand. And actually, the guy who won the tour this year, this guy Jonathan Kinchin, if he wins...
Yeah, I know the name.
Yeah, he gets $2 million plus the 800,000. So he's...
That's big money there.
He's playing for more than you made last year.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah. All right, Jerry. Thanks a lot, and we appreciate your time.
All right, buddy.
And we'll be right back after this timeout. It's the Bet America Radio Network.
This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn with Jason Beam.
All right, my thanks to the General, Jerry Coles, for joining us from Portland Meadows. I love small track racing, and I love Portland Meadows racing, so I was really pleased to get Jerry on the show and talk about the big race coming up this afternoon, the Portland Mile, 25,000. It's a very very special race to me, so I appreciate everybody listening in. Hopefully you'll play a little Portland Meadows. They got a nice little carryover in the pick 4 and pick 5. They're both low takeout wagers, 14% on the pick 4, 15% on the pick 5. Man, I spent so many days hawking those bets and reminding players of those low takeout wagers. But I love talking to Jerry, so I really appreciate his time. And we're going to get back on the road bright and early. Yeah, I'm going to be heading from Northern California to Southern California tomorrow, and then up to Vegas on Wednesday for the NHC. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Beamie Awards, BeamieAwards. Got to make sure I spell that right. Again, at Beamie Awards, I'll be having all the coverage from the NHC. It's going to be a lot of fun. Really look forward to broadcasting from beautiful or fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. So from all of us at BetAmerica and the BetAmerica Radio Network, we thank you, and we'll catch you in the barn tomorrow. We'll be right back.